The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Faith is what apprehends what's already been done. Faith is what takes possession of what's already been done. Faith is how you respond to what's already been done. Faith takes, grace makes, praise God. See, anytime you look at things in your life and, you know, it just seems like there's no hope in that area, get your hope from the promises of God. Hope in what God said, rather than hoping or being hopeless in a present circumstance or situation in your life. When you start considering His Word to the point where you start praising God for it, when you start considering His Word to the points where you start thanking Him for it before it even manifests, you start getting up, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. You start meditating, you start saying that word, and you move into thanksgiving, your faith is strong. I'm a world
changer. This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
This morning, I want to teach you on something I call the secret to becoming fully persuaded. The secret to becoming fully persuaded. Romans chapter 4, verse 16, and let's read together down to verse 21. Verse 16, let's read. Ready? Read. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, we've been talking about how vital it is to be highly developed in your faith, because faith is what is responsible for taking possession of what grace has made available. Faith is responsible for getting the healing that's already done, the deliverance that's already done. All that was done on that cross through the blood of Jesus has already been made available. There's nothing we can do to, you know, try to get God to do that. He's already done that. But what we have to now do is to make the distinction between what has been made available by grace and the faith that takes it, the faith that takes possession of it. Look at Romans chapter 4, 16 in the Amplified Bible. In the Amplified Bible, it makes clear that anything we see manifested in our life is from what grace is made available, but it depends entirely on faith. It reads like this, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. Now, the Bible is full of promises. And he says in order to inherit the promise, that's going to be an outcome of your faith. That there are many promises in the Word of God. Promises for healing, deliverance, promises for wholeness and soundness. Many promises in the Bible. And yet he said the outcome of that will be a faith, and it depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and make it valid and guaranteed to all of us, or all of his righteous saints and those who are born again. So I can tell you for the next year everything that Jesus has made available. I can tell you that through his blood, you're already delivered. Through his blood, you already have victory. I can tell you that through his blood, you already have probably everything that you've been praying about, that it's already been done. The issue for us who are on this side of the cross is to know what to do in order to see what is finished manifested in our lives. The doctor tells you you're sick. You know Jesus has already healed you. But how do I get the healing that's already been finished manifested in my life? Well, the Bible says that's going to depend entirely on faith. So now all of a sudden, grace people have got to recognize how vital faith is. You see, you can have two poisons. Something can be poison by itself, and then you can take something else that's poison by itself. But when you put it together, it can be the remedy for something. It can be an antidote for something. Well, see, as long as you see the message of grace by itself, it will produce a passive Christian. Faith by itself will produce a legalistic Christian. By itself is poison. By itself is poison. But when you put it together, then you begin to see some mighty things operating in your life, because the Bible says over and over again, Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9 talks about we got saved by grace, but we got it what? Through faith. Faith is what apprehends what's already been done. Faith is what takes possession of what's already been done. Faith is how you respond to what's already been done. Faith takes, grace makes, praise God. And so now that you know it's already there, again, I'll remind you, there's one prayer God will never answer, and that is when you try to get him to do what he's already done. He's already healed you. He's already delivered you. He's already prospered you. He's already done all of that. But it takes faith in order to take possession of what's already finished. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. Now let's go through verse 16 through 21 carefully, and I want to look at that, and we'll look at some things, and then I just want to show you how powerful it is for us to pick up some stuff that maybe we have, you know, kind of let linger. You know, we're under the grace of God. Yes, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the message of grace. Hallelujah, we wouldn't have anything if it wasn't. But you know what? We got to finish the sentence. It's got to be a complete sentence, and that is you got to have your faith in order to take possession of it. Now, verse 16 says this, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace. So we know that if we're going to see the promise manifested in our life, it's going to take faith. Then he says, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. But look what God did. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Even God calls things that be not as though they were. The question of this morning is there anything in your life that be not? Is there anything in your life, you know, you heard grace did it, but it still be not? Healing be not. The job be not. The prosperity, the deliverance be not. Well, notice what God did to the things that be not. He calleth the things, those things that be not, as though they were. So as long as you have things that be not in your life, it is up to you to call it as it be. So if you be not healed, you're supposed to be saying, I'm healed. If you be not delivered, you're supposed to be saying, I'm delivered. If you be not rich, you're supposed to be saying, I'm rich. See, if it be not and you say not, then ain't none gonna be. So if you're walking around here and you're surrounded by a bunch of be nots and you hadn't said anything about those be nots, then the be nots are going to stay not. So open your mouth and call it like the word says it. I am healed. I am delivered. I am successful. I am prosperous. Amen. Somebody says, well, Brother Dollar, I be not a good man. Well, that gives you something to talk about then. Every time you wake up, I'm a good man, praise the Lord. I'm awesome. You look in the mirror and get yourself together. Woo, I'm a good man. You just keep calling it. And somebody says, well, how long I got to do it? Until be not. Are you hearing me? All right, now watch this. Verse 18, he demonstrates when he did this, who against hope believed in hope. So there was no hope in the natural for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. So he took the hope that he got from the word and used it to go against that lack of hope that was in the natural. So who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So he took that word, so shall thy seed be, and he used it against the natural circumstance that said you couldn't have a seed. This is not going to happen. See, anytime you look at things in your life and, you know, it just seems like there's no hope in that area, get your hope from the promises of God. Hope in what God said rather than hoping or being hopeless in a present circumstance or situation in your life. Now, notice what he says, and this is powerful, this is radical in verse 19, because he's getting ready to show us, according to the scripture, what is weak faith. And he says, and being not weak in faith, comma, now he's getting ready to show us what is weak faith. Because listen, it's going to take strong faith to get things to manifest that grace is already made available. Weak faith is not going to get the job done. But how do I know if I have weak faith? Well, he tells us here. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. When he was about 100 years old, he considered not that. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he considered not that. So weak faith is when you are considering the circumstances and situations more than you are considering what God promised you. Your faith is weak when you spend time thinking about the circumstance. That's what it means to consider. Your faith is weak when you spend time. See, Abraham would have had weak faith if he spent all his time thinking about his body being old, thinking about he's 100 years old, thinking about the deadness of Sarah's womb. Had he considered that more than the promise, so shall your seed be, he would have given the proof that he had weak faith. So the question this morning is, all of the situations you're dealing with right now, all of the circumstances you're standing in right now, do you find that you are spending most of your time thinking about those things, considering those things, and very little time, if any, considering what God's word had to say about it? Because if you are doing that, your faith is weak. If you are spending time thinking about the baby needs a pair of shoes and, oh, dear God, I don't have a job, or, oh, dear God, nobody likes me, and, you know, by the way, I've got some incurable disease, and, you know, dear God, I'm having problems. If you spend all your time considering that and you're not spending any time considering what God promised you, your faith is weak. And weak faith will not be able to bring manifestations into your life. Now, right after he has identified what weak faith is, he goes on to tell us what strong faith is. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Where, first of all, strong faith is faith that considers God's promise, and you won't stagger after God's promise. So strong faith is when you spend most of your time, the majority of your time, thinking about what the Word says. Now, that's just not the fact with a lot of Christians. When people come and ask me, well, how come this hadn't happened yet? And why hadn't that happened yet? And how come that hadn't come yet? My response now is, are you satisfied with the amount of time you've been spending in God's Word? Most of the time, the answer is no. Well, there you have it. Spend some time in God's Word so your faith can be strong, and quit talking about, quit looking at, quit paying attention to the circumstances and the situations that are in your life. Your faith is strong when you consider. Your faith is also strong when you start giving glory to God. I said your faith is also strong when you start giving glory to God. The Amplified says when, you know, that he gave thanks or he gave praise to God. In other words, when you start considering his word to the point where you start praising God for it, when you start considering his word to the points where you start thanking him for it before it even manifests, you start getting up, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this. You start meditating, you start saying that word, and you move into thanksgiving, your faith is strong. And the devil better hurry up and get out of the way, because strong faith is going to apprehend and take possession of what Jesus has already done. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Now notice he says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Strong faith. Now, the secret to becoming fully persuaded regarding what God said, it seems to be in keeping God's word in your mouth. It seems to be the secret to being fully persuaded. Because once you're fully persuaded, it's there. You might as well, that's it. I got it. No doubt, no more thinking about it. I got it. But it seems to be about keeping the word in your mouth. Go to Joshua chapter 1 and 8. It's something about getting that word in your mouth. Somebody says, yeah, but what about grace? Well, grace has already done its job. It's something about you getting that word in your mouth. You have two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth. What is it about that word in your mouth that brings you to a point where, you know, your faith is going to be able to take possession of what grace has already given you? Joshua chapter 1 and 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How many of you are ready to have good success in your life? Notice what he said could make your way prosperous. I can make my way successful. I can make my way prosperous. How? And what are we talking about? Successful at what? We're talking about being successful at obtaining the finished works of Jesus. We're talking about being prosperous and successful at taking possession of what God has already done. Please don't take that and just start using it in any kind of way. We're talking about I am prosperous in taking the finished works of Jesus. I am successful in seeing it manifested in my life. It's all done, but you want to be successful at seeing it manifested in your life. Well, he told you, don't let that word depart out of your mouth. Meditate in that word day and night. You know, by speaking the word out loud to yourself, that's a form of meditating that word. You go around and you see the opposition to what you believe in for, and you just open your mouth and just speak the word of God out. Just open your mouth, speak. I'm believing for those kind of Christians to rise up again. We've gotten a little lazy in how we do stuff. But amen, when you're working on something and you there's no other way to get it to manifest other than God. And you made your mind up, you know what? The bank ain't gonna give me nothing. The government ain't gonna give me nothing. Welfare is not enough. I'm gonna go ahead and meditate in that word and put it in my mouth, and I'm gonna make my way prosperous, and I'm gonna get a hold of what God's already told me. Listen, you are never stuck when you are a Christian dealing with God. You're never just stranded when you are a Christian dealing with God. I don't care what it look like, what it feel like, and what comes on the news. As long as you're on the Lord's side, you can put that word in your mouth, meditate in that word, and it will go and get everything that grace has made available to you. Are y'all listening to me, man? You always develop your faith to support the things you're believing for before you obtain them. Develop faith is important. And I know, you know, God will give you whatever you lack. But I want to show you something here, how important it is to get in the Word. Because lately I've been asked the question, why do we need the Bible? Why the Bible? Well, here's the first thing. If you need faith to apprehend grace, then you're going to need the Word of God, because that's where faith comes from. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith cometh by the word. So if you're going to have faith, you're going to have the word. No word, no faith. Praise God. No faith, you can't apprehend what grace is made available. And if you can't apprehend what grace is made available, then you'll return back to your performance and self-effort trying to make it happen yourself. And when you turn back to your performance and self-effort trying to make it happen yourself and it doesn't happen, then you'll get bitter. And then when you get bitter, then you start getting in all kinds of sin. And then when you get in all kinds of sin, you open the door for the devil to come in and to destroy your life. And then once your life is destroyed, then you'll find yourself in a place where you don't want to be in, all because you ain't have no word. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. See, some of y'all, including myself, we'd have lost our mind a long time ago if it wasn't for the word. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now notice what he said, verse 1 through 4. He says, Simon, Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God. It's through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us what? All things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. But how'd you get it? Through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and to virtue. So you can't believe for something if you have no knowledge of it. You can't believe for something if you have no knowledge of it. So you see, when you gain knowledge of the promise, you will at the same time gain a certain amount of faith regarding that promise. When you get the knowledge of the promise, then you get the faith that goes along with it at the same time. Get the knowledge of the promise. See, there are lots of people who don't know that God has promised them healing. There are people that don't have the knowledge that God has promised you soundness and abundant living. There are people that have no idea that God has promised you a sound mind. And when you don't know that God promised it, and when you don't know that that promise is in the Bible, it's not just something you heard somebody say, you know it's in the Word of God, then a certain amount of faith comes just by having that knowledge. That's why it's important to get the CDs and listen to them. It's important to have your personal Bible time at home. It's important to get to church, praise God. Hallelujah, church attendance. Woo! It's important. Because you're not just sitting here getting a showtime at the Apollo. You're getting some knowledge, man. We breaking some knowledge off on the inside of you. And when you break that knowledge off, then that knowledge gonna break some faith off. And then that faith gonna break some grace off. And before you know it, all is good in the hood. You understand? Because you're getting the Word. Man. If you will speak that promise now, you get that promise in the Bible, and then you put that promise in your mouth, then what happens? Your faith will grow concerning that particular promise. Your faith grows. You take that promise. You find out it's in there. You take that promise. You put it in your mouth. Your faith starts growing because you put it in your mouth. So now, it just shows us the progression. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you're in trouble? What do you do when you need something to happen? I mean, what's the action plan here? First thing you do is when you're believing for something to happen is you go to the Bible and get the Word of God on it. Get the Word of God on it. What does the Word have to say about that? And list those scriptures. Get the Word of God on it. All right, the word says this in this book. The Word says this in this book. See, I'm talking to people who fed up and sick and tired of being sick and tired. See, I can't make you do this. Me and Tabitha can't go home with y'all and hold your hands and tell you, all right now, baby, go pick the Bible up. Because when you're under attack, your emotions are under attack. And when your emotions are under attack and they're not governed by the Word, then you let your emotions take they'll take you clear away from the Word of God. And the last thing you're thinking about is the Word of God. Somebody come tell you need to get in the Word. I don't want to get in no Word. I need money. I don't need no Word. Is getting in the Word going to get me some money? Well then. Well, see, you ain't going to never know because you ain't never going to get in there and do it. And see, you've allowed the enemy and your emotions to take you in a carnal place and in a fleshy place. And you sitting there hoping that God gonna do something, but hope deferred makes your heart sick because you ain't got no knowledge from God's Word. And then you sit there, suffer. And now you back into performance, and now you're going to try to do something to make yourself the source. I'm going to get out of this, and you're going to fail miserably. I'm talking to people who are tired of that. I'm talking to people who are tired of making themselves the source, and they are ready to make God the source, and they're ready to believe this Word, and they're ready to do whatever they got to do. They're tired of being broke. They're tired of suffering. They're tired of being sick. They're tired of not having. They're tired of being crazy in the mind. They're tired of all of these bumps coming on their face, and are they tired of all that? And I'm telling you, in this Bible is every solution for everything you're tired of. I just gotta convince you to go home and do it. And that's the issue with most Christians. We can come and be sanctimonious at church, and then walk out, and the biggest tragedy in the world happens when we walk out. What is that tragedy? Failure to activate what you learned.